It's 4:35. All right, I wanted to pivot slightly off the story of the individual who shot up the school in Florida, but there is something that might actually be somewhat of a link to a story that I wanted to get into. It has to do with a breakdown of the nuclear family. Now, again, do we point to that as a possible or potential influence on a young person being unstable and at loose ends? Adoptive parents both passed recently, and he was at loose ends. And, of course, we saw what that brought about yesterday in the school in Florida. But Andrea Morozik is with CARTA. She's a family program director at this public policy think tank. And they're looking at some new data from Stats Canada that shows in 2016 about 62% of children up to the age 14 were living with two married parents. But that's a dramatic decline from the 73% who lived in such homes in 1996. So over the span of just over two decades, we've dropped 11 percentage points on that. There could be societal and cultural consequences. Let's get Andrea in here. Good afternoon, Andrea.
Thanks for having me on, John.
Yeah, I appreciate your coming on. So what about it? The breakdown of the traditional nuclear family, 62% of children up to the age of 14 living with two married parents, that's still under two-thirds. Are there consequences to this?
Yeah, well, we are basically putting out this data. It's census data from the 2016 census, newly broken out by common law versus marriage. So we think that distinction is really important because the social science research tells us that it's important. So we wanted to make clear the delineation of how children are living. The census data initially came out simply with the category of biological parenting, and we didn't know whether or not those kids were living with married parents or with common law parents. So that's what this release today is all about, and we do know from the research that marriage is a more stable family form. A lot of these things are virtually unknown to Canadians, so we aim to get the word out about that. The fact that marriage, in spite of today's divorce rates, is less likely to dissolve than cohabitation. It offers greater financial stability, generally correlated with greater wealth. And we also cite research about education outcomes for children. Really, children are likely to do better in school, to stay in school. They're more likely to graduate and go on to higher education if they come from more stable family backgrounds, marriage being the most stable of all those family forms. So that's what we're drawing attention to today. And yes, there are very profound, I think, outcomes from the differences. And it's very good for Canadians, all of us, to be aware of this and work towards a future where we ensure that more children are raised in married homes and understanding the benefits of that without judging or condemning those who have other alternative circumstances.
Right. All right. So you don't want to be judgmental. You're just saying the social science research speaks for itself.
Exactly. It's very hard to talk about family things because it's very emotional. We all have our own unique family situations. But what I always point to is the fact that we all share in common family breakdown. And so this work of showing the statistics and outcomes associated with different family forms and showing and talking about marriage as the gold standard is simply to improve outcomes for all of us. And I think that results in less heartache for us as adults, but it definitely results in better outcomes for children, too.
Except that we've been told for a generation, if not more, that progressive social policies will lead to happier and healthier outcomes. You seem to decry that.
A lot of these policies have been geared towards the free autonomy and adult choices, and I will not detract from the importance of that, but the center point of our release today was really children. And so we need to have a balance between adult desires and children's desires who don't necessarily get to choose where they're raised. And I think that's where this debate gets interesting and also very deeply controversial. But certainly we need to be, this release does indeed put children's living arrangements at the center. We're not looking at how adults are living, we're looking at how children are living. So within the context of adult relationships, certainly adults can do what they like, but we decided to take a look at what's happening with children today, and that really does matter.
All right. So I won't even bring up the story from the Washington Post I was reading earlier today about the 30-year-old transgender mother who was trying to breastfeed and doctors were making that possible to do. You don't even want to go there. Not today anyway. but I'll pick it up with my panel after 5 o'clock. When you say marriage and cohabitation are not interchangeable, let's pursue that a little bit. What's the distinction and how so?
Well, the research shows us that it's not the same thing in the outcomes, and I've just highlighted some of those things in the financial realm, poverty, education, et cetera. But essentially, cohabitation results, I think, in those different outcomes because it is not the concrete decision and it's not the concrete commitment that one makes in marriage. So we talk about people sliding into a living together arrangement versus deciding, and this actually matters because often researchers trying to investigate this will ask people living together, when did you start living together? They're not even aware because it started with an article of clothing going over, a toothbrush, etc. It's all very step-by-step. It's not a concrete decision. So when people aren't actually making these active choices and involving critical thinking in their relationship decisions, it may have a detrimental outcome. It's also much harder to get out of a bad relationship if your home is on the line. So if you're living together, you're going to maybe be stuck in a pattern for the simple reason that it involves where you live. That's a very basic thing. So, in many, many ways, cohabitation and marriage are different. Marriage used to be a marker into adulthood, and today we treat it a little bit like the cherry on the cake or something that you do at the end of your life when everything else is complete. And that may or may not be fine, but for children, raising children, for those of us who would like to have children, I think it's important to know that the greatest stability for your kids is offered by a married relationship.
Finally, let me ask, what do the stats say on marriage versus cohabitation? How are we trending as far as that's concerned?
Yeah, so today's release is really looking at that long-term trend. So we've gone down, as you said, at the beginning from 73% of kids living with married parents to 62%, and then that's really being replaced by cohabitation. So the lone parenting stats are thankfully quite stable at this point, looking a bit back to 2001. But cohabitation is on the rise, and so, millennials, when we look at the stats, are the least likely to think that marriage is a valuable institution. That's our younger generation coming into adulthood. So we need to be talking more. We need to even maybe get sex ed to talk about marriage. If people are pursuing lifelong love, then it's a reasonable thing to inject into the conversation.
Andrea, great to have that conversation with you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Andrea Morozik, Family Program Director at the Public Policy Think Tank, Cardiff.